Jesus accomplished everything the Father asked. When he returned to his Father who had sent him, he left Lady Poverty as a covenant to his faithful chosen ones and confirmed it with a clear-cut directive.
Do not possess gold, silver, or money. Do not carry a bag, wallet, bread, staff, or shoes. You may not have two tunics. Whoever wishes to contend with you in court to take your tunic, give him your cloak also. Whoever forces you to go a mile, go with him another two. Do not store up treasure for yourselves on earth, where rust and moth consume, and where thieves break in and steal. Do not be anxious, saying, "What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves?" Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow is a day anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Unless someone renounces all that he possesses, he cannot be my disciple.
Apostles and all the Lord's disciples observed these words with the greatest care. They did not neglect anything at all that they had heard from their Lord and teacher, not even for an hour. These most brave soldiers, judges of the whole world, fulfilled the mandate of salvation, preaching it everywhere, while the Lord was working with them and confirming their word with his signs. They burned with charity and gave themselves to the needs of all, overflowing everywhere with a feeling of piety and with a thorough vigilance, careful that no one would say of them, "They spoke but did not do."
I do not dare to mention anything except those things which Christ has accomplished through me in deeds and words by virtue of the Holy Spirit.
Silver and gold I have not.
Their listeners strove to fulfill everything that had been proclaimed to them by their teachers. Selling their possessions and goods, they divided them among all as each one needed. All were together and held everything in common, praising God, and they were held in favor by all the people. Therefore, day by day, the Lord added to their number such as were to be saved.
The truth of these sayings remained among many for a long time, especially as long as the blood of the poor crucified was still warm in their memory, and the wonderful cup of his suffering inebriated their hearts. I was always with them, deepening the sorrows of their memories of the eternal King's suffering, so that, because they were comforted not a little by my words, they willingly accepted the iron tearing at their bodies and enthusiastically saw the sacred blood flowing from their flesh.
That victory lasted for a very long time, so that the seal of the Most High King sealed thousands upon thousands, day by day.
Unfortunately, a short time later, peace was made. That was worse than any war. My bitterness is now certainly more bitter during a peace in which everyone flees from me, drives me away, does not need me, and abandons me. This is a peace crafted for me by enemies, not by my own, by outsiders, not by my children. Indeed, I have brought up and exalted my children, but they cast me off. At that time, when the Lord's light shone upon my head, and I walked in the darkness by his light, the devil was raging in many who were with me. The world was alluring, and the flesh was lusting. Thus, many began to love the world and whatever was in it.
Whenever Lady Poverty saw that some had become lukewarm in love, or a little forgetful of heavenly matters, or were setting their hearts on material goods, she immediately lifted her voice, immediately mobilized her army, and immediately filled the faces of the children with shame, so that they would seek God's name.
All those who came to me begged me sincerely, with many prayers and tears, to enter into a covenant of perpetual peace with them, and to be with them as I once was, when I was a girl, when the All-Powerful was with me, and my children were about me.
They were men of virtue, peaceful, blameless before God, constant in their love of fraternity.
They were men dedicated to God, pleasing to the angels, and beloved of all.
They were strict on themselves, merciful to others.
Religious in need, modest in stride.
Cheerful in look, serious in heart.
Humble in prosperity, generous in adversity.
Restrained in feasting, sparing in wardrobe.
Seldom in sleep, mortified and retiring.
Conspicuous by the brilliance of all goods.
My soul was bound to theirs, and there was in us one spirit and one faith.